Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the weekly Thursday morning edition of the Household Express, a program dedicated to all your homemaking needs. I am Sister Amara and delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. this morning. Well, today being the 19th of May, corresponding to the 17th of Shawwal already, how time goes by. And you know, I must say, we're already in winter. It's been really cold mornings, evenings, during the day. And I think, everybody's saying we skipped autumn and we went straight into winter. But nevertheless, whatever the weather is, we have to enjoy it. It all comes from Allah. Well, lots to look forward to in today's program. Our topic of discussion in today's program is lessons for all new cooks and brides-to-be. We're going to be chatting to Sister Nasreen Mota, and she is from the Instagram page Kitchen Savvy. She has a love for cooking, and she does cater for everyday meals as well. Then there's a whole lot of things you're going to talk about, you know, about spices, you know, how to teach your daughter how to cook, how to budget, how to shop, how to go and buy meat at the butchers, and, you know, all things like that. And the recipe you can actually look for today in today's program is a enchiladas recipe, and that's going to be shared by my guest, Sister Nasreen Mota Sheikhji. Now, you can actually join the conversation. Today we've got a couple of questions I'm asking you today. And you can actually just answer any one of that and just give us your feedback, you know. What cooking memories do you have of your mummy? What was the first meal you learned how to cook? And what grocery items do you buy in bulk? Also, do you prefer to buy bulk when shopping? And what cooking tips would you give brides-to-be? So you can actually join our conversation. Let me repeat that question again. What cooking memories do you have of your mummy? What was the first meal you learned how to cook? Share with us share with us the memory behind your first time learning how to cook. And what grocery items do you buy in bulk? And what cooking tips would you give bride to be? Well, you can WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. Now, venturing into the kitchen can be a daunting, and venturing into a spice shop can seem like a nightmare on its own. Today we speak to a lady who is everyone's best kept secret, the lady who has been cooking for many households in our area for years, and we talk about lessons for all new cooks and brides to be. Assalamu alaikum, Nasreen, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam, alhamdulillah, and your sister Mara.
Jazakallah for taking your time out and joining us on the program today.
Ameen, ameen.
Now, Nasreen, as engagements are announced, many mothers worry both about the bride-to-be and the groom as well, as most can't even boil a pot of water. What are some of the basics that one should look at when trying to teach your children how to cook?
I would suggest to make scrambled egg, make an omelette, make pancakes, make salads, make burgers, grill a steak, make a pan sauce, master nice skills for chopping veggies, roast vegetables, and baking biscuits.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's quite a bit, you know. It's quite a bit to grasp it all in one. But I suppose you're going to have to teach them gradually, okay?
Yes.
Now, another thing is, Nasreen, how do we introduce our children to the wonderful world of spices? And let's be honest, some of the children only know 2-minute noodle spice that comes in the packets.
When my kids help me to cook, one of the first things they say is, "Mommy, can we make spices?" A couple of years ago, that meant pulling down all the spice jars they could reach, mixing some of each bowl, then digging in with a spoon to taste the latest. They learned quickly not to eat too much at once. I also made sure to modify certain spice jars so I didn't lose half of it each time. Mm. Kids naturally love to create and experiment regardless of the outcome. In order to bring this chaos, I wrote down a whole lot of spices on a sheet of paper, carefully measuring them to know each herb and space has a place on the paper. Mm-hmm. When we were done, we talked about the colors, the textures, smells, and flavors of each one. Then we scooped up on a paper and funneled into a mortar and pestle and giving them a chance to grind away. Mm-hmm. We folded up the paper for next time. The smell of the aroma of one of the latest mashup that tastes the awesomeness. What I'm teaching there is that it's okay to make a mess. There are no mistakes. Mm-hmm. Every spice mixture is different, and still makes a wonderful ultimate and teaching them to understand the flavors. As I go ahead cooking with my kids, chefs, they will learn rubs and great ways to add life to meat, and those same spices can transform otherwise plain vegetables into something great. Mm. They know that salt, pepper, and garlic powder make a rib eye taste great. Mm. Spices like cumin and smoked paprika make a chicken shine.
Mm.
Fresh herbs like parsley and thyme, oregano, make a perfect marinade for veggies.
Lovely. And I think you've introduced them to the spices in a very good, in a very nice way, a learning way, an educational way, an easy way, a simple way, you know, because like you've actually labeled the spices, you've brought it down to them, you've made them smell it, taste it, you've made them know what spice it is, you've even, you know, told them to grind the fresh spices using a pestle and mortar, and that's a great idea, Nasreen, you know. And now if you're looking at, and that's they're going to grow up, you know, teaching your daughters as well, that's how they're going to grow up and how to identify the spices. So, Inchila, I wonder when they get married, they already know what spices to go actually buy and go into the grocery shop. They can go on their own, you know, say, I need this, I need that, I need that. Like using spices, like for instance, Nasreen, if you're buying your whole dana, your whole jiru, okay, fine. You can buy it ready made into a powder form, ground. I mean, everything is so easy for us. We've got so much of nice spice stores in our areas.
In our area.
But then again, like our mother, who prefer to make their own dana jiru on their own,
yes,
buying it whole, roasting it, grinding it in their own. And I think the flavor of that brings out such a lovely flavor to your food as well.
When I got married, my late granny-in-law, she would make everything fresh at home. So she would take her dana, she will wash it, she will put it on the oven in the sun, let it dry out for 2-3 days. Then she will take all that and she will take 1 cup of dana to 1/2 cup of jiru.
Yes.
And then she will grind it, and that's how you get your dana jiru.
And then in that same way they used to take the dana, the jiru, and all the spices, they actually make the garam masala, roast all that and grind it. And your food, that's the best taste food you can ever. Your chicken curries, your mutton curries, any type of food you are making, I mean, it's made with love and care, and it's made so nice. It'll take maybe a week to actually make a dana jiru spice or a garam masala, but it's made with lots of time and roasted as well, and then into a coffee grinder and packed away into your nice glass jars. And they used to actually use glass jars. And nothing plastic.
No.
Even with my spices, I only use glass jars. Nothing plastic, nothing melamine, nothing, not even a Tupperware goes into, your spices should be kept in a glass jar as well.
So they keep the aroma.
Mm-hmm. And then, Nasreen, tell us, labeling your spices, I think that's quite important to label spices.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then if you talk about, cumin, you're going to show them the whole cumin, the whole jeera, the danya. The danya, you get the whole one, you get the ground one, and you get the fine one. And then you get fresh danya as well. Okay?
Yes.
Now, when it comes to chili powder, you know, there are different types of chili powder. You get the Kashmiri, you get the hot, the mild, you get the crushed, the coarse, you get the mother-in-laws, you get different type of chili powders, you know.
Yes.
So how did you make your children identify the different types of chili powder?
Barilla must, the crushed chilies is the more flaky one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Chili powder is the fine smooth chili powder that's used on your, obviously on your masala chips. But the crushed chilies is the more of the one that's roughage and that goes more into your curries and stuff.
And then talking about whole spices as well, you know, how did you let your children identify your whole spices as well? Like your dirt, your ilachi, things like that, your cloves, your peppercorns?
I teach my daughters that cinnamon is thatch. The long bark one is the thatch. The long stick one is the thatch.
Mm-hmm.
And now girls are into making masala tea, so they want the thatch, the peppers, the ilachi, the saffron now they're putting into the masala tea.
I see they're putting the saffron into the masala tea, and it's so tasty. It's so tasty.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, yeah, so they ask, you know, mommy, we want to make masala tea. So we get all the spices out and I line it up for them. And this is like your tad, your ilachi, your jiro. The ilachi is obviously the one that's closed and then you open it up to use it and then you like take out the peel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know some households of grind fish ilachi, they clean the ilachi pot themselves.
Yes, that's a whole
fish
mission.
Ilachi.
Mm, mm.
Yes,
mm, yes. Mm. Yes. And I think also the different names as well, the English names and the Indian names for your spices, like
yes.
for cumin, we will say jeera, and then for turmeric, they would say haldi or arad, or some yes. people say bori, and then for yes. coriander, it's your dhania.
Yes.
So like, you need to make them learn the English name and the Indian name as well.
Yes. So what I would suggest to do if you're having a new bride, if you're getting married and you're labeling, what I suggest you do is you make your labels, packing your grocery cupboard. So you would label your turner and you would put the English meaning there. So it's easier
yes.
for you to cook when you need to. You know, you don't get confused with all. You don't need to open your 10 bottles. You just know, okay, this is jiro, I'm going to take it out today, or this is your turner, or you need the powder turner. You will just take out that to use.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yes. And also, I think it's a good idea, you know, to take them to the spice store with you shopping so that they know how to buy their spices.
Yes, yes, yes. That's also a good idea.
Okay. Yes. Nasreen, what were some of the first meals that you learned to cook? Can you share with us the memory behind your first time learning to cook?
My first time I made a pasta dish, which was nerve-wracking and scary because I was worried about the meal not being good enough to eat.
Mm.
Planning was very important through, and I made sure that I had all the ingredients laid out in front of me and checked and double-checked, and I didn't leave out any ingredients. Then I placed them in order to process the meal to be followed as the recipe indicated. Alhamdulillah, I remember being complimented by my family for that dish, and this to this day, I still get a lot of compliments of my pasta dishes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. And I think, Kathleen, listen, you've come a long way. You know, you've practiced, you've learned how to cook. You've
yes.
put into practice, and now you've got you in your own catering, you know?
Yes, when I got married, I was like, I came into a big family, and I was like so scared. And alhamdulillah, today, for whatever I've learned, has got me so far.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. And I think even if you, just as a bit of advice for new brides out there, listening to this program, also, you know, when you're getting married now, you're going to the kitchen for the first time, you know, don't fear. Don't be scared.
Yes. And
don't be scared.
Yes.
Don't be scared to ask your mom-in-law. She will greatly help and assist you. Don't be scared to try out new dishes. If it's a flop, it's a flop. That's how you're going to learn, dear.
Yes.
Practice
yes.
makes perfect, and you'll see. And if you've got a good understanding, alhamdulillah, you're going to be
yes.
go all the way in that kitchen. You're going to make up lovely dishes. They're going to love your food. They're going to love you for that as well.
Yes, alhamdulillah. And more, if you know you're going to make a certain thing, read the recipe. And inshallah, when you go
yes,
into the kitchen,
yes.
it goes like a breeze. That's what I do. It's like I want to plan something, I'm making something new. I will read it over and over and until I go into the kitchen and I will know, okay, you know what? Today I'm going to master this. And I then read it up, read the recipe properly, and then go into the kitchen with confidence and doing it.
Yes, and make sure you got all the ingredients you want to try out that recipe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you know, when I got married, my late dad was very worried. Because, you know, we were, you know, being girls, we spoiled at home. And
mm-hmm.
when he got married, and today if he has to see how far I come, I think he'll be super proud of me.
Yes, certainly. Well, our listeners say, Salam, Sister Amara, wa alaikum salam. She has a great topic. Today's brides are fortunate. There are so many recipe books out there. Yes, I must say that there's so many recipe books out there. And Instagram as well. Okay, so I always say, she says, if you can read, you can cook. That is so true. You know, if you can
yes.
read, you can cook. She said, when I married 40 years ago, we were so nervous. My roti
yes.
shaped like the map of Africa.
yes,
but it tasted, yeah, I think the making of roti as well, you know. It's, if you can master roti, you can to cook anything for that matter. I think if you can make your rotis round, you're going to be perfect in anything else for that matter, yes.
Yes,
she says, my advice to brides is ask a stupid question rather than do a stupid thing. Never be too proud to ask. Mommy-in-law should be too clear to assist, like I said early on. Remember, you learn as you go along and definitely learn from your mistakes. So too, Jazakallah for sending that message, sister. Jazakallah, khair. And Yes, so Nasreen, coming back to you again, what were some of your cooking fears?
Adding too much, burning the food.
Oh, yes.
Less too much of sauce. And this is one of the big ones which I still worry about today, is making the food too spicy for my hubby.
Yeah, I think that's your cooking fear as well. And I think it's so many of the young girls' cooking fears as well. I think the worst cooking fear is just getting into the kitchen first time after you get married now.
Yes.
I have to prepare this. I'm going to make this. I think even if you knew how to make, even if you mastered it in your mommy's kitchen, you know, now it's just a fear that you have in the kitchen. That is why you need to develop a good relationship between you and your mother-in-law if you're staying with your in-laws as well.
But
if you're
staying on your own, they have their own recipes.
Exactly.
They have their own recipes.
They're going to bring in their old-fashioned ways of cooking methods. But learn from them, you know.
Yes.
Different ways of cooking methods. Your mummy probably taught you differently. Your mother was going to teach you differently. I learned from my mother, my marhum mother-in-law, Malakta Granta Chenna, and I learned from marhum Auntie Karecha Ibrahim, and from Auntie Alva.
Yes.
I learned so much. I learned so much. And again, from my guests that I interview every week, I learned so much from them as well. Okay. And so just for the listeners, you know, what cooking memories do you have from your mummy? What was the first meal you learned to cook? Share with us that memory as well. And what grocery items do you buy in bulk? We'd love to hear from you. And what cooking tips would you give new brides? You can share with us on 072-786-1548. Okay. Also, Nasreen, when it comes to buying meat, okay, how would you maybe teach your daughters on the different cuts of meat?
Okay, so you get your chickens now. You get your chickens cut into five
or eight or nine. You get it cut and washed and all
that. Washed and cleaned, and you get that. And then you get your chicken fillet.
Mm.
Then you get your tenderized steak.
Mm.
Tenderized steak, then you get your ram steak, then you get your fillet, then you get your minute steak. I think ram steak is more tender. Fillet is more...
Much more tender is a fillet.
Yes. And then you get your mutton, and you get your leg mutton, your curry mutton. Your curry mutton you use more into like your dals and your soups, and if you're making the leg mutton is more for your like your curry. Or you can take half a kilo of your leg mutton and half a kilo of your curry mutton and mix it, and that will make a super quick mutton dish.
Yes. Okay. And then coming to And I think you need to know the difference between mutton and lamb as well. Lamb will cook very quickly, it's very tender as well.
Yes.
Okay. And then also the amounts of cooking. I think that's a good point we can talk about, Nasreen, is when you're getting married, if you're staying on your own, you're going to cook for two. Okay.
Yes.
But if you're living with in-laws, maybe there could be a family of four, could be a family of five, there could be a family of six, there could be a family of ten as well. So learn how to cook big amounts as well.
Yes, and that's important when we're teaching our daughters, that we measure and we give them measurements of each. Like if you're taking half a kilo of mutton, you will put like one teaspoon or a little bit more of red ginger garlic. And we don't use measurements. We just put
eye measurements, eyeball.
So we just eyeball measurements. And I can't use a spoon. I just put like that.
Okay, I still use a spoon, but I'm always just judge. But when baking, I have to use measurements, you know?
When you're baking, it's different.
Yes.
When you're cooking, like, your spices and stuff, I would say, okay, I will just, like, put, like, I don't have, like, measurements.
Okay, so you just use your hand and just throw it in.
No, I use a teaspoon.
Me too. You just more or less judge.
You just judge. Like, you judge, like, okay, for, like, one chicken, you put, like, half a teaspoon of red chili powder. And then you will judge, okay, you put a little bit more, but all with a teaspoon.
Yes. You know, last week I gave a tip. I said, if you're using, for instance, salt when you're cooking, I actually use a pink Himalayan salt, so that you're going to use slightly less salt than your normal salt. Then if you're going to be adding like your aromat and your chicken spice, whichever other spices, you're going to use less salt because a lot of salt content in that is high.
And yeah, when I use spices, I don't use salt. I don't put salt. because I felt the salt content in spices.
Yes.
I just put like maybe like a pinch of salt. But then, well, if you're going to put the spices and the salt, it tends to become too salty.
It does. You can always add more salt afterwards.
Afterwards, that's what I say. And salt is one of the things today you can't even taste. I don't know. Salt is just so, the salt you just don't even taste anymore.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes, you know, if you find a dish that has less salt, you won't find, if you taste it, you won't taste the other spices unless you've added a bit more salt. Then
yes,
it'll bring out the aroma and the taste and the flavor of all the other spices as well.
Yes.
Okay. And listen, why would you say it's important to braise your mutton when cooking it?
That you have to braise your mutton. Any tarkari, any curry you're cooking, even your chicken curry, make sure it's braised properly till it even catches a little bit, and then you throw in your tomatoes. Mm. And then let your tomatoes even cook a little bit on low heat till it cooks a little bit, and then you throw in your water. Let your tomatoes also braise. Mm. If you put your mutton is not braised, your curry is going to taste I know in Gujarati they say viro. Because
okay,
it's not braised. And make sure even your mince, when you're cooking mince, your steak mince, or your steak mince especially, make sure it's braised.
It must stick a bit to the pot.
It must stick a little bit to the pot, and then you put your tomatoes, and then you let your tomatoes cook a little till it's like, till you could like barely like it evaporated a little bit, and then you add in your water. So when you put in your water, you don't have all the tomatoes floating onto your curry.
Do you prefer to use fresh tomatoes, liquidized? Do you use tin tomatoes? Do you use tomato puree? Do you use tomato paste? Do you use all that, a bit of everything?
I use a bit of everything. I use fresh tomatoes. I liquidize it. I sometimes put a cube and I freeze it in the freezer. So it's a bit
good idea. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I use tomato puree in like 1 tablespoon of tomato puree for my curry. Depending on how much you cook, it gives a lovely color and it gives a lovely end finish to the meal.
Okay. Now what I normally do is also when I if tomatoes are cheap and plentiful.
Yes.
So you buy boxes and you just liquidize it. But I liquidize it with tomato puree. And I pick into small containers and then freeze it up. And you can just use it as you require if you're in a rush to cook or in a hurry or things. And I still keep fresh tomatoes in the fridge as well.
Yes.
And then also to make your gravy thick. How do you make your gravies nice and thick?
You put extra onions into your curry.
Okay, extra onions, okay. Yes. All right, another tip, you know, Marhum Auntie Karecha Ibrahim used to always say, he says, take the squash, peel it, and remove the seeds and liquidize that squash and add it to your chicken curry or to your mutton curry. And believe it, it comes out so, so tasty. And your gravy will be thick. Okay. Yes. A listener says, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum. So, do you liquidize tomatoes with skin on or off? With the skin on, sister? That's a good question, you know?
Yes.
I think you liquidize with the skin on, it's much nicer as well. But then again, some sisters prefer to actually boil their tomatoes.
With the peel.
With the peel and then take out the skin and then liquidize it.
Yes, we do that.
All right. Okay, Nasreen, let's just talk a little about how did you teach your daughters how to identify the different types of lentils, your dals? Like your pink dal, your magni dal, your mung dal, your oil dal.
The mug is the green one. That's the grainy one. The mug is the green one. The magni dal is yellow, and you get the smaller magni dal, or you get the slightly bigger magni dal.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger magni dal tends to cook better.
Yes, but you have to soak it.
You have to soak it.
Okay. Listen, still on the line. Let's go for a quick ad break. We're still going to talk more about the lentils. And they're going to share with us a lovely recipe. That's the enchiladas recipe coming up later on in the program with Sister Nasreen. And we're asking you, what cooking memories do you have of your mummy? Do you prefer to buy bulk when shopping? What cooking tips would you give bride to be? Please share with us on 072-786-1548. Stay tuned. Alaikum and welcome back. Where are we talking about lessons for all new cooks and brides to be? And my guest is Sister Nasreen Mota Sheikh, Sheikh Chi, and she's the owner of Kitchen Savvy. You can follow her on Instagram at Kitchen Savvy. And assalamu alaikum, Nasreen, welcome back. Okay, this year we're talking about your lentils. You know, how would you, how did you teach your daughters how to identify the different types of lentils and dals? We spoke about the mug dal. We know it's green. Okay. And we spoke about the mugni dal as well. And you were saying the bigger the mugni dal, the better it cooks, nicer it cooks faster as well. Okay, but there's a tip on that. You know, I think if you soak your mugni dal up with hot water, boiling water for about an hour, and then cook it, oh, it comes out so nice. Okay. And then the pink dal and the oil dal. A lot of people only use oil dal to make dal.
Yes.
Okay. Do you use any other dals to make your normal dal?
I use oil dal, I use a little bit of chana dal, and I use the pink dal.
Okay, chana dal. Okay, that's the first I've heard of that. I know some people put masoor.
Masoor in
pink dal and oil dal. Okay. And, okay, sister says, okay, before we go to WhatsApp messages, Nasreen, let's go on to the recipe you're going to share with us today. That's a chicken enchiladas recipe. So please go ahead and share with us.
You will need about half a kilo of chicken fillet cubed. You will put your 1 teaspoon of your chili garlic paste, 1 teaspoon of garlic, your salt, your black pepper, a chicken spice, half a teaspoon of each. You will let that cook and you will leave it aside. Then you will take your tortillas. Tortillas, if you want to make it homemade or store-bought tortillas, and you will just keep that aside. Then you would make a lovely tomato chutney to go with it. What I like to do is also stir-fry a little bit of peppers and mushrooms. And you take your chicken, you take a casserole, and you layer the tomato chutney at the bottom. And then you put in your, you take your tortillas and you fill it with your chicken and your stir-fried veggies. Then you fold it up nice and tight and you place that onto the, on, into the casserole dish. And then you take your, you beat one egg and a fresh cream and you beat that and you pour it over the enchiladas. Mm-hmm. And you grate it with cheese and you bake it in the oven for about 180 degrees for 15 minutes.
Okay. This sounds really very tasty and so easy for the youngsters to make in the kitchen.
Yes, yes.
It's like a whole meal and you can just serve chips on the side. It's so absolutely lovely.
Oh, and a lovely salad.
Yes. Like a kachuma type of thing, a nice salad, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, Nasreen, jazakallah khair for joining us on the program. I really enjoyed the interview with you. You shared such lovely tips with the listeners as well. Jazakallah khair, may Allah give you lots and lots of barakah in your business as well. And inshallah, we should be chatting soon, Nasreen. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakallah.
Ameen wa alaikum salam. Well, listeners, that was Sister Nasreen Mota Sheikhji. You can follow her on Instagram at Kitchen Savvy. Let me spell it for you. That's at KITCHENSAWVY. Okay. Now, the question we're asking you today is, what cooking memories do you have of your mummy? What grocery items do you buy in bulk? What was the first meal you learned to cook? And when you got married, or when you just not married at that time also, do you prefer to buy a bulk when shopping? What cooking tips would you give bride-to-be? Well, the listener also says a great tip for mugs. She says pressure cooking, it's so easy for mug and for dal. Well, I've tried mug, yes. You could just, I think it's less than 5 minutes when you're cooking it in the pressure cooker as well. Dal is very easy to make in the pressure cooker as well. And very simple, very easy as well. Then Sister Sharifa Amin says, Salam Sister Amara, I have lots of memories of my lovely lady Auntie Kareja, Marhum Auntie Kareja Ibrahim, and her most scrumptious recipes and hints and tips when she gave time. Remember the hand that rules the kitchen, rules the world, and all the recipes she shared was yummy. My hubby just loves the way I cook now, and thanks to Radio Islam. Well, Ameen, Ameen. Yes, I also learned a lot from Marhum Auntie Kareja as well. Well, another listener says, my cooking memory is of burning or scorching the food. Quickly empty out the pot, wash it, and putting the food back in it. But how? My mum used to always come to know. After much experience, we now realize Mums know everything. She also says, I buy in bulk and freeze chilies, garlic, ginger whenever in season, chopped tomatoes, boiled till nice and soft, then use a hand blender and blend well. Add 1 tin tomato puree and then store in the freezer. I only use like this in all my cooking. Jazakallah for sharing that lovely tip, sister. I'm sure most of the listeners is going to benefit from this as well. And a tip on chilies, green chilies, you can actually clean your chilies out, remove the stems and then grind it up into your major mix and then freeze it into containers. You can add a bit of salt and a bit of oil as well. But if you need to keep it in the fridge, you find green chilies don't stay long in the fridge. Now, I find a tip that works very well for me is into your small container, put a bit of olive oil in. Put a bit of olive oil in your green chilies and it will stay for at least a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It will not go off if you keep it in your fridge as well. And then you can just use from there as well. Well, yes, we still got lots to talk about in today's program. And I think it's important, you know, that when shopping on a budget as well, I think also, you know, going to do shopping nowadays, every week you go and do shopping, you find that your grocery stuff, it just adds up and adds up and adds up. You know, you can buy a few things and add up to 1,000 rand, 1,500 rand. So it's actually basically a good idea to buy in bulk. When you find you're going to the shopping, to the store, if you find things on special, if you've got extra money, buy in bulk, especially with your toiletries, especially with your flour now, it's winter, you can buy it in bulk and store it away as well. Your toiletries as well, you can even buy your meat in bulk, your chickens. Like ginger garlic, you can make a batch and keep it for the whole year. I know Marhum Aunty Kreja Ibrahim used to make a whole batch of ginger garlic and she used it every year, a fresh batch of ginger garlic. She used to actually buy and keep it away in the fridge as well. Then also some tips is teaching your children to make basic things like toasted cheese, eggs as well. But I think when it comes to rice is a bit tricky. And it depends what rice you're going to be used. Like, there's different types of rice. There's Bimbri rice, there's Basmati rice, there's Tastic rice. Now, Bimbri rice, you need to cook it very quickly. And it gets soft very quickly. But Basmati rice, you can cook it for about 10 minutes, steam it, and it doesn't just go very soft, as well as Tastic rice. So just teach your daughter how to cook the different types of rice as well. Also, take them with to the butcher. Show them what type of meat to buy, the different types of meat cuts, like Nasreen shared as well. And then another thing is also, it's a good idea for mothers to teach their sons the basics of cooking, as you never know when the wife or the children get ill, especially now with COVID. You know, you'll find when the children get sick, the mommy gets sick as well. And then the father needs to learn, how are you going to feed them? Okay, fine, your mommy will cook for you, but you need the basic things. How to make an egg, how to fry an egg, how to make a sandwich. So basic cooking skills as well. And then one of the sisters says, teach them also how to use an iron, how to use a kettle, how to use a stove, an electric stove, a gas stove, how to use a toaster. Yes, I agree with that, sister. That's basic cooking skills that you need to use, your basic appliances that you need to use in the kitchen as well. Then also, cook together, as this will be memories your daughter holds onto, and who knows, it might inspire her to write a cookbook based on memories with you. Yes, so share with us, what cooking tips would you give bride-to-be as well, and what cooking memories do you have of your mother? Let's go for a short break. When we come back, I'm going to be repeating the enchiladas recipe shared by Sister Nasreen Shetty. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Well, today we're talking about lessons for all new cooks and brides-to-be. And you can join the conversation. What cooking memories do you have of your mummy? And what cooking tips would you give brides-to-be? You can share with us on 072-786-1548. Okay, I'm going to share with you the recipe of the chicken enchiladas recipe. Then I'm going to go back to the WhatsApp line from our listeners. Okay, for the chicken enchiladas recipe, you can take your own homemade tortillas, or you can buy the ready-made ones. You will require 2 cups of chicken fillet cubed. That's 2 cups of chicken fillet cubed. A teaspoon of salt. A teaspoon of chili garlic paste. a teaspoon of chili garlic paste, 1 teaspoon pepper, 1 teaspoon pepper, a teaspoon of crushed jiru, that's your cumin, a teaspoon of crushed chilies, 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. You make a tomato chutney and you can stir fry some peppers and mushrooms. Then 1 egg, 125 ml of fresh cream, and 1 cup cheese that's grated. Now you marinate your chicken with tomatoes and spices and you cook it till it's nice and tender. Then you beat the egg and add it to your fresh cream. Then you heat your taco sauce and gradually add egg and cream mixture. Cook for 5 minutes on low heat and use. Spread a little of the cooked sauce over base of a baking dish. Spread a tortilla with the sauce. Put meat filling in the center of the tortilla. And fold over and arrange in a baking dish with seam side down. Place enough folded tortillas to fill the dish. Put sauce and grated cheese over enchiladas and bake for 180 degrees for 15 minutes. Now, this recipe is a very simple, easy recipe. And you can, even the kids in the home can make it as well. Okay, let's go to our WhatsApp. This one says, Assalamu alaikum. I have too many fond memories of my mummy to mention. My masala is about to be finished and realizing now that I have to make it myself. As my mummy's no more here to make it for me, may Allah Ta'ala grant her higher status in genital photos. And I'm glad she's benefited so many listeners. And please carry on remembering her in your du'as. This is from Sister Maryam Rawat. That is Marhoma Aunty Khadija Ibrahim's daughter. We dearly, dearly miss your mummy, Maryam, Fatima, and Amina. And you know, your mummy has really given so much of her cooking tips, and it's also Abhicharya on her as well. Jazakallah for that message, Maryam. Okay, let's go on to the next message. This one says, Salam, how are you, Sister Mara? I'm well. I also freeze whole green chilies. Also, I make green chilies and garlic masala in bulk for a whole year. I use this in samosa mince, in veggies, in mugs, in dals, and loads of other things. Very handy when garlic and chilies are scarce or expensive. I do that with red masala as well. Jazakallah for that, sister. Okay, this one says, for new brides, try to have your basic recipes written down in a book. Don't depend on your phone, as you don't want to be looking at your phone all the time in the kitchen. If you try a new recipe, it is successful, write it down. I agree with this listener. Jazakallah for sharing. I really agree with this listener. 100%, absolutely. So your basic recipes, have it written down in a book. Make a nice recipe book for yourself. Decorate it, write it, print it, put it into different categories. Do as you want, how you want, how you understand it. Don't depend on your phone, as you don't want to be looking at your phone all the time in the kitchen. If you try a new recipe and it's successful, write it down. Jazakallah khair for sharing that, sister. And okay, this one says, okay, the recipes are on the website, sister. You can go on to radioislam.co.za and the recipes are on our website. Okay, let's quickly share with you this one. I'm just trying to look at this. I had a lovely message coming through. All right, let's go back. I'm just trying to look for it here. Let's just see where are we with that one. Okay, here we go. Okay. This listener says, I've always seen my grandma saving money. One day I approached her and asked her, where do you keep all your money? She said, it's a well-kept secret, but she promised she would tell me about it. So she took me into the kitchen and lifted an aluminium box. It was used to keep rice grains. And she removed a bundle of currency notes and showed it to me and hid it back that no one knew. So that box of rice grains was her safe locker. And from there she taught me, if you've got a little bit of spare money, 100 rand, a 50 rand, a 20 rand, put it into that box and you'll find over months you can accumulate and you can actually slowly, slowly take out from there and buy your groceries in bulk. And always keep it away for a rainy day. That's such a lovely idea, yes. You know, if you look at our great-grandmothers, they used to actually store it away there. So That's how they actually save their money. They save for Hajj, they save for a rainy day as well. Well, already time to wrap up today's program. And the listener says, please, but I don't have time to share the recipe again. It's on the website. Go to radioislam.co.za. If you don't have access to the internet, you can call Sister Rukaya. Faiza is not well. Remember in her du'as. Remember all the sick and in your du'as as well. And 011-854-7022. You can ask them to share that recipe with the listeners as well. Well, that's where we leave it for today. Jazakra to my producer Mumtaz, to my guest Nasreen Mota Sheikhji, and to all the listeners out there as well. Let us quickly go on to one more message. All right. Okay. All right. Let us go on to that as well. Okay. I don't think there's any more messages. All right. Okay. That's where we'll leave it for today from me, Amara. Until next week, inshallah. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.